Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. We took a brief hiatus, but now we're back. And I am Grunislav, also known as Francisco Gonzalez, along with my ever-present co-host.
Hello, I am Ben Chandler, also known as 304. And I would just like to say, instead of calling this one episode 8, I think we might call this one case 8 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast.
Indeed, it is quite topical to call it case 8.
Very topical.
Episode 8. And actually, it might be a bit better to call it episode 7.5, because we have been on a bit of a hiatus for differing reasons. Well, similar reasons. We've both been a bit busy with game design, and you've been busy with work. But so this week's episode is going to be a bit less content filled than our usual ones, as we sort of ease back into our regular podcast schedule. But
So it's just a little warm up podcast, and then we'll get back into the swing of things.
Yes, exactly. So how have you been, Ben Chandler? What have you been up to?
I have been busy, Gonzalez. As you know, I've been working at work and working on games, and I've had music stuff to do, so I've been busy, but I'm good. Yesterday, I finally released the game that I've been working on for, I think, the whole time that we've been doing this podcast. And what I know you've done something similar as well this week, Gonzalez. How have you been?
Indeed, I've been well. I've also been busy with work, but I have also released a game this past Wednesday, the 8th of August. A game I have been working on for quite some time as well. Most of the time we've been...
Quite some time.
Yes, quite some time. Quite a bit longer than we've been doing this podcast, actually. And,
So,
as a matter of fact, I have been out tonight celebrating partly the release of this game. So if you notice I'm a bit more jolly than usual, that is, that's because I've been out, you know, and celebrating these things.
I think after 4 years, a jolly podcast is quite acceptable. After 4 years of working on a single game. And I have to say how incredible it is to not just finish a game after working on it for 4 years, but the fact that you started Ben Jordan, the series, with the intent... How many games did you intend to make from the start? Did you have a plan?
Oh my goodness, Ben Chandler. You have no idea. But before we get into that, I think we should announce that this week's topic is going to be us talking about releasing games. Yeah, so when I started the Ben Jordan series back in 2004, I was basically kind of rebounding from another game that I wanted to make about a guy who goes around the world looking for the AGS source code and like visiting different AGSers. And I was like, you know,
that's
I like
cute.
Yeah, it was very meta and very silly. But I was just like, you know, I like the idea of a guy going around the world doing stuff. And I like Gabriel Knight, and that's about, you know, paranormal investigating type things. So I thought, let me make a game about a paranormal investigator that goes around the world and investigates things. So I made the first game, and I thought, I guess I could make more games. And as I went making them, I was like, I'm going to make 10 games! But then when I... I was very overly ambitious. But then when I sat down and I wrote out everything, I was like, I guess I can make 9 games. And then I was like, wait, no, this plot is stupid. Let me make 8 games instead. So
what was going to be... What was the one that was dropped?
Oh.
Where was that?
Well,
Is this the fabled Ben Jordan Case 9 versus Frankenstein on the Moon?
No. No, this is the fabled Ben Jordan case between 6 and 7, where he invites Alice home to his house to meet his family, and they get interrupted by ghosts every time they're going to have sex.
Just like my real life.
What, really? You get interrupted by ghosts when you're about to have sex?
Terrible problem. I need a paranormal investigator.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, Ben Chandler. No, really.
Anyway.
I'm joking. I'm actually not joking. I wanted to make in order.
No, seriously. I understand that.
I wanted to make a game between case 6 and case 7 because I wanted to develop Ben and Alice's relationship. and I wanted to have a game that focused on their relationship and, like, Ben bringing her home or something for the holidays. And while they were trying, every time they would try and sneak away to be intimate, they would get, like, interrupted by ghosts, and Ben had to, like, figure out why the ghosts were haunting his house. But I realized that that was really stupid, so then I didn't do it.
Ben Jordan case 7.5 in search of a cold shower.
Exactly.
Okay. So, but I have to say, as I was saying before, it's incredible that somebody, you know, who makes the majority of his games by himself can go, I'm going to make a game series with this many parts and actually do it and finish it and achieve what he set out to do. That is very, is very inspiring and very empowering to see somebody achieve that.
Thank you for that, but I honestly don't know how I did it, to be honest. I think about it right now and I'm like, I can't believe I've actually finished the Ben Jordan series. I can't believe that I don't have any more Ben Jordan games to make, and it's just weird. But it's cool because now I get to do other things. Now I get to move on to other projects, and I'm happy about that.
I mean, obviously, Ben Jordan's been around since I joined the forums. I joined the forums in 2005, I think. So Ben Jordan's always been a sort of, it's always been there. You're just always looking forward to the next Ben Jordan game ever since I've joined the forum. So it's kind of not weird, but it's kind of surreal to just think, And I haven't played KSA. As you know, I've been catching up on the games, playing them from 1 through to 7 so I can have all the story clear in my mind. And I've actually going back and playing, starting from number 1 again, well, 1 and 2 deluxe, because I played the original versions, I hadn't played the deluxe versions. It's kind of, now that I go back and play through the games, I see things now that I didn't pick up on at the time, and I go, oh, that's how that all works together. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, I'm interested to see how it all ends.
Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying yourself. But tell me, Ben Chandler, tell me about your game. Tell me what you've done and what you've released, and how you feel about releasing. Oh.
The thing that I have released, it's probably one of the hardest games I've ever built. It's easily one of the wordiest games. I think that's going to be a really sort of dividing factor in the game, whether people like it or not, because it's incredibly wordy. I counted the words, and it's somewhere around 33,000 words. It's holy enormous God. The amount of reading you have to do. Yeah, it's so, and it's, I've put, but I see a lot of it's quite, it's not a linear game. You can make choices, and if you do one thing, then it goes this way, and if you do another, it goes that way. So it's not all, you have to read that many words to finish the game, but it's something different for me, you know. It's, I'm interested to see how it goes, and I just got an email a couple of minutes before we started doing this podcast, which was very nice, and it was good to read their thoughts about where I could take from there. But yeah, it's, I don't know, I started making it about 3 months ago, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into at the time. It's basically, if I could describe it as anything, I'd say it's an homage to Planescape Torment.
I see.
One of my favorite games of all time. It's, if anybody who's a Planescape Torment fan that plays the game will see numerous references dotted throughout the game to it. But how does it feel? Let's talk about the act of releasing a game, because it's a really momentous occasion.
It is.
It really is something big. And I imagine, especially for you, after 4 years making this game and after 8 years been working on the games, what's that like?
Well, it's actually kind of funny because I was intending to release the game on August the 8th, and I figured I would release it at some point during the day on August 8th because I was still, up until the very last minute, doing lip-syncing and a few other things like sound effects and things like that. But I actually was able to manage to... I was able to get a lot of the lip-syncing done in the days before. And I was ahead of schedule, and I realized that I was going to be able to release the game fairly quickly. So I did the whole midnight release thing, and I released the game about maybe 12:05 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 8th. And it was weird because, you know, it wasn't like really a big deal. I was like, you know, it kind of just happened. You know, I went from not having the game being finished to having the game being finished. And I talk about this, I did a designer commentary for Case 8, and I talk about in the commentary how usually my process for making the Ben Jordan games was, you know, I would start, and especially more towards the later cases, I would start the game, and, you know, I had an idea of what I wanted to do, and I would get about halfway through or, you know, well into making the game, and I would realize, man, you know, I think I bit off more than I can chew. I really don't know how I'm ever going to be able to finish this game. But I would still press on, and then at some point I would just get to the point where I was like, okay, I see that, you know, there's so many things that I still need to do, but I can get this done. And then somehow I would find myself being done, and then, you know, I would release it, or there would, you know, maybe be some music or something missing or something, and I'd start working on the next game, and I'd release the current game. So it was weird because it was like this, such a long time that I hadn't even come close to finishing it, and then it kind of just within the past couple of months just kind of all came together, and then all of a sudden I found that it was done. So I released it, and then, but what was weird this time was that I don't have any more Ben Jordan games to start working on and be excited about after this one.
So you find it quite anticlimactic to release the game after all that time, and it's just done, and there's no.
It kind of was. I mean, yeah. the only thing that really stood out was a couple of days before I released, I was doing kind of a test playthrough, and I finally played it from beginning to end with all the music in and most of the voices in. And when I got to the end, it finally hit me that this was it. This was the last Ben Jordan game ever. And I was kind of like, wow, it's over. And I felt a little bit sad. And then I was like, get over it, you baby. Go on to other things. And I punched myself in the face.
Well, but you constantly do that to remind yourself of your manliness. Used to that.
That's absolutely true. I do that. Yes, you're right.
Just sort of sit on the train punching yourself in the face, just going, yeah, I'm the manly one in this carriage.
That's right. Rawr.
Do you get the thing, and I've called it this, do you get the post-release depression where you finish a game and all of a sudden you're just like, oh man, I don't know how I feel about this? Because I used to get this quite a bit. I would, you know, you work solidly on this thing every weekend, every night after work, you're working away at this project, it becomes your baby, and you know, you lay awake in bed at night thinking about this game of yours, and you know, you'll be at work and you're thinking about it, and it's every waking minute is taken up by this game, and then all of a sudden you release it and that's just it. And then it's kind of like, do you ever get a bit depressed or anything like that? I know other designers I've talked to about it kind of feel that way.
Well, like I said, I always had another Ben Jordan game to look forward to working on, so I didn't really. Now I feel kind of lost, and I don't really know what to do. But the last couple of weeks, I was like, I gave myself a no gaming embargo because I had been playing a lot of games and wasting a lot of time. So I figured in order to be disciplined and finish Ben Jordan, I wasn't going to play any games. And I have a backlog of games to play now. And I figured, okay, now that I've finished with Ben Jordan, I can watch the movies that I've had from Netflix for like the past 2 months. And I can play games that I've had forever. But I haven't done that yet. In fact, I've actually started designing my next game, which is kind of bad. I haven't taken any time yet.
Yeah, I've been the same. I've kind of been holding up. You know, I've still been playing a little bit of games and that, but I've been holding off on it because I thought I really need to get this finished by the deadline, and I cut it pretty fine. You know, I had a couple of days to spare, but I still cut it pretty fine. So it's kind of weird. I've been out for dinner the last 3 nights. So I'm like, oh, wow, I'm actually out of the house and doing things. It's kind of nice to not
I know.
Be well, sat at my computer eating dinner. And
well, yeah, know, this is like this is the first weekend in a bit that I've actually been out and not like the last weekend before I released Ben Jordan, I stayed in all weekend working on the game, and I was just like, man, I'm such
you
a
did,
nerd.
Yeah. I was out playing music, but the whole time I was out playing music, I was, you know, going, man, I wish I was home working, which is really lame, but, you know, I had a deadline to make. And do you find releasing a game, like finishing up a game, do you find that the hardest part? Because I often find I'll get so far through a game and I'll get so much of it done, and all of a sudden I mean, I know you sort of talked about this before, but do you feel that that's a really big thing? Like, I'm never going to be able to finish this. I just can't get it right. Do you think that's something that stops a lot of people?
I don't know. I think so. I think overambition is what stops a lot of people. I think, you know, people start off thinking that they want to make like a full-length Sierra or LucasArts type adventure, which if you think about it today, a lot of the old Sierra and LucasArts games aren't really that long. I mean, you can finish most of them within a couple of hours. I mean, with the exception of maybe, I don't know, Gabriel Knight, I guess, takes a while. Monkey Island 2 you can finish within less than 4 hours, because I know that because there's a trophy that you get for finishing it in less than 4 hours.
okay.
But, yeah. But
no comment there from me.
Yes, I know. Anyway, so yeah, I think a lot of people, they think that they, you know, they want to make a full-length game, and then when they realize how much work they have to do, they kind of give up on it. So, I mean, personally, that's why I wanted to go with the whole episodic thing with Ben Jordan, because I knew that
good idea.
I would probably have more success making a bunch of shorter games than making a full-length game, which my next project is going to be a full-length game, so we'll see how that goes.
Imagine if you'd never done you'd never released any of the games, and you released Case 1 to 8 this week as a whole thing.
Oh, wow. That would be pretty crazy.
Imagine that. 8 years of silently working away at one project. 8 years is a very long time. I haven't been making games for that long.
It is, man. That's like most of... I spent... Seriously, from 22 to 30 making these games. That's a long time.
That's a third of my life.
That's... Yeah. That's,
8 years.
Nearly a quarter.
No, more than a quarter. Yes.
Something like that. It's a little less than a quarter.
Yeah, I just not because so many. This is a really big thing in indie games in general, and not just AGS games, and even games and projects and anything. So many things get started, and so few of them get finished. It's such a big thing to release a game. I mean, I admire anybody that releases a game.
Yeah. No, me too.
It's a lot of work. And, I mean, you know you've released... You must have released close to 15 games or more than 15 games now?
Well, there's 10 Ben Jordan games and three Reality on the Norm games. So, yeah, close to 15, I guess.
You've got Manwhore, and you've got the girl in the
Yeah.
You've got Crackwell.
Manwhore and Crackwell.
And you got the...
I guess...
And Sweet Skin.
Yes, Sweet Skin.
That's 20 games.
Well, it's not 20 games, but it's close to 20 games.
Yeah, that's... So, it's... Yeah. Did you find that having that other project to go to helps? Because I know in 2009, when I started kicking into gear and thought, I'm going to really, you know, I really enjoyed this game-making thing. I'm going to give it a good crack and see how good I can go with that. Every time I'd finish a project, I'd be lost, and I'm not sure what to do. So I've gotten in the habit of sort of a week before releasing a game, throwing myself into another project. So as soon as I've wrapped that project up, instead of sitting around hoping that people play my game and, you know, refreshing the forums every 3 minutes, I actually have already thrown myself into the game. And it sounds kind of weird, but at the moment, I don't care if anyone plays piss or not, because I'm so focused on my next game that I don't even think about the game that I've just released. It's almost as though it hasn't been released, and I don't, you know, if that sounds weird, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I've kind of been... I was a bit wary to start working on my next game while I was still working on Ben Jordan because I didn't want to distract myself or not be able to focus myself completely. Now that I'm free, I kind of, you know, I have all the time to work on it, so it's fine. But I wanted to stay focused on just Ben Jordan because I knew that I could get easily distracted and any easy distraction could prevent me from getting any work done on it.
That's fair enough, I guess. I just find it helps. And I know I've spoken to Dave Gilbert about it, about that lost feeling you get after you release a game. I hate that feeling, which is why I've always got something there. As soon as I finish, I like to have something I can jump into feet first. And it's as though nothing's changed and I'm still working away at the game. Maybe that's just me, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure that's not just you.
How's the response for your game been? It's been pretty good from what I've seen. A couple of negative remarks, but other than that, it's been pretty positive, yeah?
Well, yeah, it's basically been pretty popular. I mean positive, which is good. I was afraid that most people were going to be like, oh my god, that's what we waited so long for, but most people have been pretty pleased with it. How about piss?
My thing is, well, so far from what I've heard, the response has been pretty good. You know, someone said something, you know, I had a very positive email sent to me before, and someone caught up with me on IRC not long after it was released and said, oh man, you know, and gave me a very positive feedback. So, you know, it's early days yet, but so far the response has been pretty good, which I'm happy about. You know, I feel at the time it was probably the best I could make it. Now I could probably, you know, what I learnt during the project, even over 3 months, the amount that I learnt, I do quite a lot of it differently now. But my thing is, I hate endings, and I think the ending for this game is either going to make or break the experience for people. So, yeah, I've been curious to see how people find the ending.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering that about my game, too, because, you know, it was the ending of the whole series, so I had to wait about a day or two till people started finishing the game, so they started playing about or posting about the endings.
Are you satisfied now, you know, a few days later, that the ending was the right one to do, or the endings?
Yeah, I am. I learned a lot about game design with the Ben Jordan series, and I'm hoping I can take those lessons and apply them to future games. And one of the lessons that I learned was, aside from not writing so much dialogue, was simplified interface and how much better that is, because the whole Ben Jordan thing of having, like, you know, being able to touch everything and look, and well, look is fine, but being able to talk to everything and stuff like that, it really just creates an environment of not letting you do anything, because you have to, you know, give messages for like, oh, you don't want to take that, or you don't want to mess with that, or you can't talk to that, stuff like that. So I really think that the whole, you know, one click, left click to interact or whatever, and right click to examine system is really the way to go with as far as adventure games.
Yeah, I've grown very fond of doing that. And in saying that, the game I'm currently working on, as you know, has got a different interface to that. I've simplified it even further to a single mouse button. And yet, hope to not lose any of the adventure in the game. But this is one thing I've been meaning to ask you, and I thought, save it to the podcast so other people can hear the reason for this. Why do you have two talk functions in Ben Jordan games? You've got the small talk function and you've got the questioning function. What inspired that?
That I think was pretty much a direct lift from Gabriel Knight 1 and or Lorabo 2, because in the first Ben Jordan games there was only just the one talk icon, which was just, it would just start asking questions, and yeah, I put in the small talk and the question mark icon in later games. And I think, I know in K8 there's one instance where you have to use the talk versus the question to solve a puzzle, but mostly it was just kind of, the talk is very useless, the small talk one is useless, it's just useful for, like, you know, stupid little mini character development when you make small talk with the characters. But yeah, that was one of those things that was a very big indication of how useless so many icons were.
Yeah, it just seems, I mean, the only time that, from what I've played, because as I said, I have not played Case 8 yet, the only bit that I recall it being needed was in Case 6, where you have to get the fisherman out of the cabin of the boat to chart a course. Other than that, it's pleasant to have the little, you know, the little unnecessary character developments and everything like that, but it does seem like you could fit them in with question dialogue.
Yeah.
As a more, you know. But yeah, no, I'd been meaning to ask you that. It's interesting that you lifted it off Gabriel Knight.
Yeah. Yeah, because Gabriel Knight had a lot of useless icons. Luckily, I didn't go crazy with them.
I have to say, I like it in Edna and Harvey, the breakout, where every single interaction generates some sort of response. And I know I've talked to some people and read some articles where people hate that because you're always looking at things and they found the humor quite hit and miss. But I personally love that. Every action, every meaningless action gives you some unique response. And that blew my mind, how incredibly full the world was, and it was all acted out.
So, Ben Chandler, I want to know, I'm curious, what was the inspiration behind Piss? Where did you get the idea?
I have been making quite puzzly, quite linear games for quite a while now. And I wanted to do something a little more non-linear and a little less puzzly. If you look at a lot of the games I've released, they're almost like escape the room games that flow along a story. And I thought, I want to get away from that, and I want to let people explore a world, basically. Like Sigil in Planescape Torment. Once again, we go back to Planescape Torment, which is a huge inspiration for the game. I basically wanted to build a world that people could walk around in and explore, which is kind of what I wanted to do with City. I guess that was the idea behind it, is have an RPG in adventure game disguise where there's this big world, and instead of going around and doing things for combat and stats and everything like that, talking to people and making choices about how your actions will, you know, like in Backdoor Man, where your different choices affect the outcomes of situations. I wanted to do something like that.
I see. Yes. That's always fun.
Well, it is, and you sort of wanted to do a bigger game with Backdoor Man, but never really ended up doing it, which was sort of along the same lines, wasn't it, where you find different outcomes in the game based on your choices?
No, it was really just the whole being able to have different outcomes was actually a plus of having it be just a short game, because since it wasn't going to be a big game, it was, you know, you could have whatever ending you wanted, it wouldn't matter. Because that's another thing, as far as linearity goes, in the Ben Jordan series, it was very difficult to not have linearity in the story. Like, in Case 3, there's the two different endings and all that, but...
There are, yeah.
But it was really difficult to do that with the other games, because since it was going to be a series, you know, I didn't want to have different endings available for each case, because then which one was going to be the right one, you know, to kind of build up on,
yes,
on the thing. Cause I tried playing around with that in case four. I think I talked about this. I did a live stream of case four, and I mentioned during that at the beginning, when all the paranormal investigators are going around introducing themselves, you have the option to, like, you know, be modest or be a jerk or whatever.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and that doesn't really go anywhere, because originally what I wanted to do with that was kind of have points in the story where, depending on how you acted, the other investigators would react to you. So if you were a jerk the whole game, they would, you know, they wouldn't be as helpful, or they wouldn't like you or whatever. So you would have to kind of earn their respect or their trust or whatever. But I realized that was going to make it difficult, because I wanted Alice and Simon to be Ben's companions throughout the rest of the series. So if you played and you were a jerk and you ended up being alienated by all of them, it wouldn't make sense to have them be friends with you in the next game. So I dropped that idea, unfortunately. But yeah, it's very difficult.
Does it make a difference other than in points if you stay up late listening to music with them or not? Because I stayed up late.
It's absolutely no difference. It's really just a mini reward for the player to make you feel better about yourself and get to know them a little bit better.
Okay, well, I think that can be a reward in itself. Offer a bit more backstory to those interested.
Yeah. So, what's your next project, Ben Chan?
My next project is... Well, I know that I've said before that I have got a bunch of different things to do, but I've actually been approached by someone who's working on an adventure game engine, and he's been doing quite a bit in the AGS community. It's Daniel Alexander and his Zage project, which he converts AGS games into the XNA format. So he and I have been feverishly working towards, you know, getting ourselves a prototype. You've actually played it, and so you know what we're all about. It's I don't really know how to describe it, because it's kind of still forming in my head, but I want to do Brutal Legend with less heavy metal, but still have some, you know, some rock and roll and stuff in there, and more, I guess, supernatural Twilight Zone paranormal investigator. Not paranormal investigator, but ghosts and things. So, yeah.
I'm glad you said Twilight Zone and not Twilight, because I would have been concerned otherwise.
Yes, I've never read or seen Twilight. I'm completely oblivious of the intellectual property, thankfully. Yeah,
same here.
I think I don't have a thing for pale, moody vampires at all, except Stephen Poulton. He's all right. And do you care to share anything about your next project that you're working on, or is that all strictly top secret?
Well, I don't want to say too much, but basically what I can say about my next project is that it's not going to be a series. It's going to be a one-off, full-length adventure, point-and-click adventure game. It's not going to have to do with the paranormal or anything like that. It's set in a historical period. Basically a story about, I don't want to say what it's a story about just yet, but it'll be interesting, and if all goes well, it will be commercial, so it will be my first commercial venture, hopefully. So we'll see how that
you
goes.
You sell out for.
I know, what can I say, you know?
Although I'm quite a hypocrite.
Except
considering I see the dollar signs in your pixelated eyes, Francisco.
I've already constructed...
Or maybe that's my reflection.
I've already constructed a money bin like Scrooge McDuck that I'll be able to dive into.
I think that'd be quite painful, actually, diving into coins, because coins are quite firm.
Well, yeah, but if Uncle Scrooge was the only one that was able to dive into his coins, didn't you ever see, like, when the Beagle Boys broke in and they tried to dive in, they got hurt.
Okay. Maybe you have to be a duck to do it.
Yeah, maybe you do have to be a duck. Speaking of which...
Maybe that's a secret hidden duck.
Speaking of which... Ben Chandler, would you kindly read a phrase for me?
I'll do anything if it contributes to the podcast.
Absolutely, it does. I'm going to type a phrase, and I would like you to read it in your best dramatic voice.
You know that I'm especially good at drama because I've actually voice acted for you, and it was a bit of a comedic game, but I think I gave it a dramatic and quite dark air with my interpretation of the role of being myself.
Yes, and a fine job you did too.
Thank you.
Indeed. So, I would like you to read...
This is thrilling for our podcast listeners, I'm quite sure.
Indeed.
I'm sure they won't even miss Deliverance this episode because...
No, I'm sure they won't. Go ahead, read the sentence.
Okay. That doctor I went to see was a real quack.
You have said quack! You're a duck! Go dive in the dump in the...
Oh no! Oh no! You have found me out!
Oh, now you have said meow! You're a cat!
Oh no! The truth is out! I am the duck cat animal creature. I shall change my name to CatDuck304 on the forums. Actually, I'm going to do that right now, live on the podcast.
Wow. You really are dedicated to your craft, aren't you?
Really, I would suggest actually that I'm more dedicated to silliness.
Indeed, you are.
But you realize that anybody that has to ask, we will know that they do not listen to our podcast.
You're right,
and we can persecute them.
You're absolutely right. Now then, Ben Chandler.
So Gonzalez,
It is
Sunday morning for you, 4:25 a.m. for you.
Yes.
What are your plans? What's next? What's... come so far. Are you going to take it easy for a week? You're just going to relax and chill out? What do you do after you release a game? It's weird. It's a weird thing to do.
It is a weird thing to do. What I usually do after I release a game is, well, like I said, start work on the next one. But since... I mean, I've already kind of started working on the next one, but I think, yeah, I'm gonna take a few days and I'm just gonna relax and play some games and you know, have a social life again. What about you?
Have you been playing games lately? Just sort of.
I fired up my PS3 and I started playing Infamous 2 again, but I need to play many games. I need to play Resonance. I need to play The Walking Dead. I need to play Limbo. I need to play Saints Row the Third, etc., etc.
I'm the same. I've got a lot of games that I want to play now. I've started playing Saints Row the Third this weekend just to sort of relax. I don't, you know, it's the sort of game where you don't have to think too much while you're playing it. You can just kick back and relax and
yeah.
And it's been really relaxing to just sit on my chair and be lazy and eat toast and play PlayStation 3 and just, yeah.
Indeed.
Not even have to do anything. I've still done a little bit on games. At one point, I was going to put in a big weekend of working on my game, but then I said, nah, just take a weekend off. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of nice. I mean, and I was only working on my game for 3 months, but that were 3 big months. It's easily the biggest game I've ever worked on. I think it takes people somewhere between an hour and a half and 3 hours to finish it, which, by my standards, is a huge game, considering most of my games are less than an hour long. So, yeah. It's nice to just, after 3 months of crunching, because we really pushed ourselves, you know. It's good to just relax.
That's good. Well, Ben Chandler, I think that that about wraps up our discussion this week. We'll be back with a full length, full featured podcast next time.
Yeah, we'll do a
real back to the swing of things. But before we go, why don't you tell the people where they can the name of your game and where they can find it?
My game is called Piss, and it is part of the Summer Batch Bundle, which is 5 games. 4 other people have joined into the bundle, and it's by Screen7, and you can get it. It's pretty cheap. It's pay what you want with a minimum fee that's not very big, and you can get it over at summerbatch.co.uk. So go and check that out. And your game, Francisco, even though everybody's probably already played it by now.
Well, I don't know, but if you haven't, it's Ben Jordan, Case 8, Relics of the Past, and that is available at www.grunislavgames.com/benjordan/case8.php, but you don't have to go there. You can just go to Grunislav Games and find it yourself. So
your attention to detail, as always, is pleasing.
Yeah, well, you know it. So, yeah, so that will do it for this week's podcast. And until next week, I am Grundislav, Francisco Gonzalez. You can follow me on Twitter at Grundislav Games if you like.
And I am Ben Chandler. And if you really want to follow me on Twitter, you can check me up at Ben_304. And until next time, we'll be back with a real podcast, hopefully soon.
Yes. Well, farewell, Ben Chandler.
See ya.